and tell us how many, or is it too many to count?
6 to 7 men is half a score.
That's more, 7 to 7.
You're not that young.
6 to 7.
I figured it out. All right. Wow. All right. We also have a friend of Anders. Anders, I can't see him because someone is right in front of him. Johan, correct?
Oh, yeah.
Johan, all the way from South Korea. Over, are you over here for 1 year?
2 years.
2 years, okay. Great. I'm glad you're here this morning. All right, we're going to begin this morning with prayer, please. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you that we can come together to study and think about some big ideas this morning. May this be a profitable morning, we ask in Jesus' name. You may be seated. All right, I will ask young men. So, here's another young man. Get him over here. Would you guys, you start over as I pass those out to everybody that's here. You want to open your Bibles to Book of Revelation, please? Revelation, we'll start in chapter 1. I love that song. I love the tune. I love the words, but I wish they hadn't messed around with a few of the words. How do you have the title to be the same, and then they change the word in the first line?
Yeah.
Yes. From awful to awesome. Yeah. I hate the word awesome.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awful means something bad, too.
Yes. Awesome. Yeah, everything is awesome. Awesome. Pie's awesome, God's awesome, you know.
Yeah,
all right, everybody find Revelation 1, verse 8. Let's stand, please. We're going to read a couple of verses together. Revelation 1 and verse 8. I am Alpha and Omega. What's that mean? Yeah, we're really good on that. Can you write it? Can you write an Alpha and an Omega? Just like the A and the Z. The beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. Verse 11, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. Now, chapter 21, I'm not going to teach these verses. I just want you to see a very simple concept. Chapter 21, verse 5.
Did the Bible talk about?
You just never know what you're going to hear on Sunday morning, do you?
It's
the
audio Bible. It's the Bible.
21 verse 5. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. Chapter 22, verse 13. It's the most full of these kinds of verses. These are called spectrum verses. Spectrum being what? You got the full spectrum. 22, 13. Is it 22? Yeah, not 21. I'm at the wrong spot. 22:13. I am Alpha and Omega. The beginning and the end. The first and the last. We're going to just start this morning. I have no idea how far we'll go on the subject of worldviews. Pastor Warren is not good at everything, but if you're interested, I am good at some elements of teaching. I'm going to teach the same thing in about three different ways this morning. So no matter what your farm of learning is, except the farm that's not interested in learning about worldviews, I can't help that. You can grasp the concepts, no matter your education level, none of that matters. I'm going to state it logically, I'm going to draw it on the board, we're going to do a lot of different ways, because worldviews, I would say this, I don't think there's anything new about a worldview. I think there's only something new about our understanding. Now, for some of you that come out of a Catholic background, take a breath, because you don't know what I'm talking about, so if you're immediately given to reaction, you won't even hear me. If you hear the early creeds, and you can, you know, with a couple of lines that you say, I don't like those lines because you don't understand them, you know what they are? They're worldview. They begin with God being the creator. They end with God being the judge. They're a worldview. It's what they are. They kind of give the whole story of Christianity. Now, lots of stuff missing. I reread recently the Apostles' Creed. One of the early ones, and of course, I called Kevin Bowder when I read it because it just inflamed me. Everybody look at me. It inflamed me because the entire creed that's quoted in many churches today leaves Israel out. 77% of the Bible is left out. And you ever wonder why anti-Semitism starts? Yes or no? Because it's not in the creed. And by the way, I'm going to show you first thing this morning, you got to be real careful about worldview books. Because guess what they leave out? Israel. I'm going to draw one. It's the one of the simplest things and the most wrong things you will ever see. And everybody uses it because we don't think about the story of the Bible. By the way, you can't cut out 77% of the Bible and come up with the right story. You got to have an Israel. You have to have, by the way, a Jewish Messiah. Sorry. And no, I'm not Jewish. It has nothing to do with what I am. It has something to do with truth. Let's pray. We're going to get started this morning. Father, thank you for this time. Bless our time. In Christ's name. You may be seated. Everybody has notes. I think everybody in this room, if you have been in college especially, you have seen something like this. The worldview. And it's actually helpful. Now, I'm not going to have time to talk about this morning. We'll fill in this later, probably next week, but that's really nice. But if you have, and you do have a Bible, you realize it leaves out anything about Jesus being Jewish, Jewish promises, yes or no? Abrahamic covenant. And therefore, you know, we don't grasp sometimes when you see anti-Semitism like we see in this country. There are always reasons. But one of my questions is, how can a Christian hate Jewish people when we get saved via the Abrahamic covenant, which I had taught in this church repeatedly through the years? I like this, but it's very weak. So if you teach kids, you need to teach something else, which we'll talk about maybe today or maybe tomorrow. Or next week, excuse me, not tomorrow. Tomorrow you'll be ensconced in celebrating Martin Luther King Jr., I'm sure. Your chart on your notes are perfect with the exception that it needs a hole. And I didn't have Christy to figure out how to put a hole in there, so you got to have a hole someplace. What in the world is a worldview? Well, worldview comes from a German word, which I can't say very well. Weltanschauung. It's just a word that means worldview. I prefer actually metanarrative. In your notes, a metanarrative is simply a big story. The big story that makes sense of all the little stories. And friends, you already believe this. If you've ever heard Romans 8, 28, can you quote it? Somebody quote it for me. And we know
that all things work together for good.
You are assuming a worldview. You're assuming, by the way, what you're assuming is these little things. And by the way, they might be big to you, but in the big picture, how big are they? You realize if there's 8 billion people on Earth, I don't know how many for sure, but if there's 8 billion people on Earth, you understand how insignificant you are and your problems and my problems. Now, they're the world to you, and that's fine. But there has to be some kind of a bigger story that fits all these little things together, and that's where a meta-narrative comes from, a worldview. It puts together all of the little stories that get out of whack. And by the way, the messy mess of our little story. So when we quote, we know all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are, you got to hear this, called according, not, there's a, you know, that divine election. God has purposes in history and in life. Wow. It puts all things together in a bigger story. Our story fits under the big story. So that's what we're going to talk about. Before we go any further, I'm going to draw on the, you can draw on the side. We find ourselves, and this is really, really basic. I'm not going to do anything real philosophical today. You know, here you are, you find yourself in some sort of a box. It makes no difference where you draw this. I'm going to use two words. When I say space, I mean space like this. I don't mean outer space, so place, space. You also find yourself in this thing called material or matter. I guess matter is probably a better word. And then you have this thing here called time. And I don't really care what your beliefs are or where you're from. Everybody kind of enters into the same place. I read a book, my goodness, 40 years ago, and the guy said, try to imagine yourself. Science fiction guy, which, by the way, I hate science fiction because it isn't very science fiction. They always do. I can remember the Star Trek. Now I'm going to step on toes. The Star Trek stuff, you know, the deep Star Trek. And they would talk about, wow, they don't live in a three-dimensional world. They live in a two-dimensional world. Try to explain that to them. Now, you can imagine. You can imagine yourself in many places, but you always imagine yourself in time, space, or place, and matter. Try it. So just try to imagine. And you know what you'll come up with? You'll sound stupid. Just like, oh, I still remember watching one of those Star Treks. Oh, it was so bad. Oh, man, I've got down to religion now. Oh, I now know where we live. It was the only worst thing than that is, of course, how do you know that a movie is bad? Here's Pastor Warren's opinion. Time travel. Anytime I'm in a time travel movie, the first thing I do is turn it off. They don't have a plot. So in order not to have a plot, we do time travel. Haven't you figured this out yet? It's a gimmick. But anyhow, you can't really imagine yourself in anything else. You can try. You can, by the way, I read a book that had multi-dimensions and you're... But it always comes down to, if there's a you here, there's time, there's matter, space, place. I'm not trying to make a difference. So that's where you come in. By the way, I really don't care who you are. You exist here. Have you ever? I actually talked to a guy one time that said he wasn't sure if he existed. Then there was a famous movie. It's one of those movies. Sorry. For you that are like my wife. You need to smoke 3 marijuana joints before you watch it. Was it called Inception? You know, the dream inside of the dream inside of the dream.
That was a weird dream.
Oh, well, wait a minute. You're missing my point. The more you're dreaming, guess what you're in? You're just dreaming of another place, another time, and different matter. You can't get out of this because... Can I say this? You're human. try. You say, I'm very clever. Yeah, I know, I've read about multidimensional. Oh. I'm not sure I exist, or I'm not sure if this is a dream or not. Okay. Go outside and see if you think it's your dream. It's not really cold. I'm just dreaming. Okay. In your notes. Yes, I'm cynical. You say, I'm not trying to be cynical. I'm just trying to state a simple fact. When you deal with worldviews, you have to be honest with yourself. There aren't as many as you think, number one. And number two, y'all live in the same world. You don't live in a different world. You can imagine, you can play all the games, you can smoke, you know, you can do LSD. That was in his time, but LSD was kind of over by my time.
It was mine.
It was. And some of you don't even know what LSD is, but
Lakeshore Drive.
Lakeshore Drive. That was good, Jim. Thank you.
That's when they get all the pros.
We better move on. We're not getting any place here. In your notes, my introductory thoughts, which, you know, just simple things. First of all, you will have questions. And by the way, everybody has questions. I say this and I mean this. You cannot not have questions. You say, Pastor, I'm not very smart. Look at me in the eyes. Do you realize how dumb that sounds?
Yes.
Look at me, please. You know how dumb that sounds to me. You say, I'm not smart. I said you're going to have questions. You cannot not have questions. Because sooner or later, things happen like people get cancer. And then you immediately, you say, I'm not very smart. You're smart enough to ask the question, why? Yes or no? You see, I think we play games. We excuse ourselves. I really get tired of people checking out of the Bible before they begin. Or somebody dies. And then you start asking, what happens to that person? Yes or no? Right. You know, by the way, you have questions. You have to have questions. Because everybody lives in here. I'm sorry, we don't live here. The most assured thing you can know is death. Okay, so here are my questions. You will have questions. You cannot not have questions. If you don't like that kind of English, I do. Next. Eventually, this is the weird part, they will be the same questions. They will be the same question, or same questions. It should be plural. Why isn't that plural? They will be the same questions. You say, how will they be the same questions? Well, look at me, friend. If you grow up in Hindu world in India, you grow up in animistic world, you're still going to have the same questions. Why does somebody get sick? What happens when they die? Where do we come? These questions become, everybody has to answer them. That's the nature of a worldview. It's not like, whoa, this is deep. It's not deep at all, actually. It's just normal. I say in your notes, questions that demand answers. Yes, you'll have to have answers. And you will have to have answers unless you find some way of checking out. But look at me, that's an answer too. Otherwise, I can't handle the pain, so let me do drugs, smoke dope, get drunk every night, go gambling. Do you realize you have an answer? It's not a very good answer, but it is an answer. Otherwise, there are problems pressing in on me. I don't like these. So, questions that demand an answer? And this is the only philosophical statement, the next two in the beginning, these two questions. Questions that are connected to this worldview. This world, not worldview. They'll be connected to this world, our experience. Because once you enter in here and you live in time, well, then you know there's these things called birth, there's these things called death, and then there's this weird thing called this. We have a young man right here he's studying in medicine. Have you ever even asked yourself why people get sick? Do you know every culture in history has to deal with that? How do you deal with that? And worldviews affect even how we approach sickness. Or is sickness caused by demons? Or, excuse me, only by demons? Or spirits? Or the fact that you didn't pray to this God or that God or pay off that God? Or these are the questions that we have to have answered. Now, the harder question is this, and this is a little touchy, and I'm not going to focus on this during the time we talk about this. These questions that are all connected to all the other questions. How you answer the questions, you're going to start figuring out they all hook together. So Buddhism teaches, or at least, excuse me, I have to be very careful when I deal with religions. This is the weirdest thing. Iran backs the rebels in Yemen. That's where they get their money. You do know if those same rebels were living in Iran, they would kill them. Because their religion's wrong. So when I say Buddhism or anything, you've got to realize there's just so many variations. But many variations of Buddhism teaches that this world is an illusion. It's not real. And by the way, salvation, nirvana, comes from escaping the illusion. Now, I would ask, why does everybody have the same? Because we all have the same illusion. I live in a place, I start, I end, you know, it's kind of the same. Everybody's there. All right, that's simple, is it? Is that simple? You say, Pastor, I'm not smart. By the way, never say that to me publicly because I will rebuke you no matter who you are. Because everybody asks questions. Quit playing the game. And everybody has answers. Some people's answers is, what's the, you know, we get told the purpose. One of the things is meaning and purpose in life. They don't know. They don't think they have one, so they just quit. You have asked and answered the question. You know, some people stop living when they become in their early 20s. I used to think people stopped living when they got real old and didn't have a purpose in life. I've met people that stopped living early. They don't want to learn anything. They don't want to grow. They don't want to mature. They don't want to just... Life is over. But you have asked the question, what's the purpose of life? Because you haven't found it, then you just stop living, and that's your purpose, which is stopping living. Same questions. Well, we're going to look. There's seven of them we're going to talk about. There might be more questions, but these are the big ones. The first one is, where am I from? Now, you don't have to use I. You could use we in all of these questions, friends. I'm going to erase everything up here. You will see on the back side of your notes, you will see a little chart. I'm going to attach everything to the chart. I don't know if we'll get through with this, but I'm going to try. One of the first questions you asked, where? Where am I from? I do not know if this is the first question. Now, Christianity, of course, is going to talk about creation. Evolution is going to have a different answer. Evolution is not going to have a very clear answer about you. And can I say this real quickly? After a point, unless you're not thinking about it, when you answer this question in a different way, you lose this. The I becomes more or less an accident, not very significant, not very important. So that's one of the questions we have to ask and we have to answer. The second question is, of course, destiny. Destiny. Where? I think I have it this way. Where am I going? You can add, by the way, you can say it in different ways. You don't have to say it in that exact way. Where am I going? What, you know, what's going to happen to me? I say in your notes, we grow up, we grow old, our parents grow old, yes or no? Mm-hmm. And older, and then there's death. As I thought about this when I wrote this a couple years back, I thought to myself, is this the second question we think about, or is this the first? And my guess, this is the first question. By the way, my guess is your first big question as a little kid is you wonder what happens to people when they die. How can you not? You have to. So these are just basic questions. It fits in very much, very well with Christianity. We can use other words, and we believe more than this. We believe a lot more than this, but at minimum, we believe God himself, the triune God, is first and last, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. There's creation, there's a consummation. We ask questions of, you know, where did I come from? Where am I going? Seem to be origins and destiny. I'll write that word up here, origins. Now, can I ask everybody, haven't you asked these questions? Mm-hmm. If I had time, maybe I should take 2 minutes. When was the first time you asked the question about what happens to me after I die? Many people's first big memories, because of emotions, remember, emotions tie your memories in your brain somehow. Very few of us have the ability to recollect academic stuff. But if emotions are tied to it, many people's first memory is going to a funeral or death. I remember, was it my dad or Fred Lawrence, said they had an aunt that got cancer back before there were drugs or treatment or help, to the place where the cancer ate through her body and there was a hole this big around in her side before she died. Do you think you would ever forget that? And you're going to be asking what happens. By the way, here we witness to people, some of us don't even know what to say. You realize everybody has the same questions? You have to, because you live in the same world. All right. Destiny. Where am I going? Or you could say, where are we going? I don't want to get goofy on language. Well, then you have this subject, of course, of morality. Morality asks the question, and I'm using Francis Schaeffer to some degree, how should we then live? How should we then live? And this is not in order here, but there is a question that fits into this. Morality. How should we then live? Can I say this to you? It's going to connect to this. It's going to connect to this because all of these questions connect. I don't know if you know who Peter Singer is, and forgive me, I don't know that I should say this, but it's public knowledge. It's been out in the public world. Peter Singer is one of these weirdos. Anybody know the name? He is like big shot at Princeton University. He's an old geezer. He is a weirdo. He is exceptionally smart and exceptionally weird. And he wrote he runs some kind of a weird journal that they always publish anonymously because a lot of it is creepy stuff. You guys not know this stuff? And Peter Singer recently wrote an article on it's okay to have sex with animals. And see, most of us are like, what? Do you not understand these? No, you don't have to understand. These questions all connect. See, if you don't have a God who started things and a God who is going to, you ever heard of judgment? Well, then it implies, the morality that we live by has to come from someplace. But what if you don't have this? Hello? And there is no judgment. And by the way, I love my dog. My dog loves me. I think some of you are really missing the point. Can I say this? Some of us will be dead. Don't you know we're moving these directions? Because we have lost any concept of Christianity, even in churches. Because if you don't have a judgment where there's a God saying, you know, I told you how to live. Well, then it's kind of like, well, the dog, it's all about consent, right? And you don't harm the dog or freak out. I'm being crude, by the way, this was in the Bible too. I'm assuming you know that. Take a breath, everybody. You do know it's more in the Bible directly than homosexuality is. So there must have been problems in the ancient past with this. And I'm going to say this to everybody. I was 18 before I read the Bible. First time, I was Atlanta, Georgia. I know where I was at, 1976. Sewers were our conference. Sermons were terrible, but John R. Rice preached, and his sermon was crazy. But in the sermon, he challenged us to read the Bible. I promised God I was going to read the whole Bible through that year. I read it through twice. When I came across verses that talked about bestiality, and my first thought was, why is this in the Bible? Well, because do you think the pagans had a Christian worldview? Morality fits right into this. It's all connected. How do we live? Of course. Look at Paul. You know, Paul has something very specifically to say. He says, why stand we in jeopardy every hour? I'm going to say this. Amber is not here, and her friend from your old church, when they were in school, I asked them a question, and neither one, and I'm not mad at them. I can't remember her name, Amber's buddy that was in your church. Yeah, no anger towards the person. That's not the point. I said, why would somebody give their life for Christ? And they didn't have really a good answer. Part of it was they're young and they're trying to figure out who they are, but they don't have a worldview. See, Paul tells us if you have a different worldview, well, you shouldn't live like a Christian. Look what he says. Why in the world stand we in jeopardy every hour? He says, I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. If after the manner of men, I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, and I don't know, was he actually in a Colosseum fight? I don't know. Maybe this is metaphorical, but he goes on to say, if the dead rise not, if there is not, look folks, something here, why would I do this? Why wouldn't I just go along with every crazy movement that comes out of people's brains? He says, let us eat and drink. Now, when you meet a Christian living like that, what do you know? Whether or not a Christian. Number four. Fourth question. Again, these are not necessarily in order, but they are very important. Is the question of meaning. Meaning. Which, you know, I'm not going to write all that on the board. I just want you to see that kind of fits into a nice pattern. You know, you have this, you have the curse, which we'll come to, you have the cross, you have the consummation. And by the way, Christianity answers the seven big questions. So morality, how should we live? Meaning answers this question. How and where do I find meaning, purpose, and significance? And friends, I don't care who you are. Look at me. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you have the lowest IQ on earth. You constantly think about meaning, purpose, and significance, and what gives you that. So, is it the person that wins the most games? Is it the person that has the most stuff? Is it the person that has the biggest car? Hello? I love when I look at people with lots of money in their houses. I'm happy they have a house that has 17 bedrooms and 22 bathrooms. I'm thinking, how many do I need? You say, well, I might have visitors. 17 bathrooms? How many are you planning? By the way, drive around this area in most the fancy dandy houses. You never even see lights. Nobody lives there. What you're not getting is they're answering a question. What gives this person meaning? So I want to ask you a question. Why would somebody spend their life making less money when they could make more? Can I say this for most of you? You can't answer the question. Why would a person become a missionary? That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Why would you go to a third world country where your lifespan is going to be cut short just because of the diseases you're going to get, and the health care? Morality, meaning, they connect. In your notes, this, we might call this, when it comes to the subject of meaning, we might call this, I'll translate this from Greek into English. Are you ready? We might call this happiness. So, you know what I'm really at? What makes a person happy? Have you ever noticed the stuff people buy that they don't need? All right, number four, or five, is identity. identity, and this is probably the strangest thing of all. Identity, which simply asks, who am I? Who am I? I say in your notes, this is a postmodern question. All I mean by that is, I think everyone in here knows, very few people seem to have ever thought much about this question. I'll say that again. Identity, now by the way, meaning and purpose, people always thought about. But because we have lost, look at me, we have abandoned any kind of a worldview. I told the kids, I'll tell you, it's not a secret. You're going to find throughout history there were gay males. Drop the lesbian, just gay males. The weird part is, sometimes it's very hard to know who they were and weren't. Because they had an entire world, and gayness, not, by the way, it's wrong morally, we're not questioning that, was just one little piece of a huge life. What's our problem today? This is their whole life. It's their identity. You don't even know why that is. Because we have gradually rejected everything about Christianity. And by the way, Christianity is not just warm, fuzzy feelings. It's a whole worldview. Romans 11:36 is on the back page. It's my life verse. For of him, he's the source. And through him, and to him. Which implies a Christian worldview of creation, consummation. Otherwise, where are you going to find identity, meaning? Is it going to be coming? Come on. Now, I confess that I am a big fan of the old, I hate to use his name in church, Bill Clinton policy. Don't ask, don't tell in the military. You know what? I don't want to know about anybody's sex life.
Exactly.
Thank you very much. I'm not going to ask, and please don't tell. Today, we have reversed that because we have, do you see these cretins? And I'm using the term cretin. But they've been lied to by everybody that doesn't have a clue, and they don't know who they are. Now, let's drop back. You got to be older. Tom, your dad was this way. But much younger than that, no. If I were to ask my father, who was he? He would have gone like, huh? Who am I? Have you ever looked at pastors' websites? And they talk about who they are. I love skinny jeans. Oh, shut up! But you know why they say these things? Because they don't know who they are either. They're trying to create... I read one guy, and he had three lines about Diet Pepsi. No joke. He said, I love Diet Pepsi. I mean, I really, really love it. And you put this on a church website? Because... you have a bunch of zero people trying to find meaning. Can I say this to all of you? You're not going to find much meaning or identity in sex or anything like it. Wow. I'm not saying that my father was unique. I want to tell you this. I think I could have asked everybody I grew up with who they are, and they would be like, what? Who? What? And now people say, my pronouns. Oh, you got to be kidding me. Look at me. I don't even have a problem. Listen, I'm a polite person, believe it or not. I do in public. I do not want to put... Listen, if anybody that's already a zero need my help stomping them down. You know, you understand, a person that greets you, say, my pronouns are... It's like, they already have enough problems. Do you understand? They don't have any identity of who they are. And they're trying to find it. They have to start with that. You know, if you're a great poet, or you're a great musician, or you're an author, or you build houses, you ever sit down beside somebody on an airplane? If it's a man, what's he going to do? He's going to tell you what he does, because he finds a lot of his identity through what, and by the way, should he? And the answer is yes. You sit down by a woman, they're going to be pulling that thing out to show it used to be. They're going to be pulling out the pictures now. It's going to look at my phone. So if I sit down by a woman, first thing I do, I have on my phone pictures of, I have good pictures of my wife on my phone and one bad one. I usually start with the bad one. The one with her smoking. You just haven't seen it. I captured it, folks. I have it on film. I posed her. look at me, friends. We find identity. So I'll just say this. We don't have time to discuss this morning. The sources of identity are many. By the way, if I could say one thing to you, if your sources of identity are many, you'd be a pretty good person. And I say, and there are many different kinds. You say, what do you mean by many? Well, if I had asked my father who he was, and after he hit me, he finally got around to it, I think he would have probably said things like this. Well, it has something to do with his family, his work, his country, his loyalties, yes, his character. I'm pretty sure Dad would have talked about growing up in the Great Depression. I'm pretty sure World War II, Korean War, being married to Mom, having children, working at the steel mill. That's who he was. Today, my pronouns are Z and Zem. Yeah, that's a problem. There are many sources of identity. We'll talk about that in future weeks. There are many kinds, and I'm going to focus on primary ones. There's many different levels. Some of them are good, some of them are okay, and some of them are bad. Some are eternal, some are temporal. I mean, you know, obviously, friends, we all are grown up in this room enough to know this. When you meet many people, let's use sports figures. What happens when it's time to retire? Now, some people, listen, some people are business people or they have other things they do and they just move forward, great. But the ones whose all their identity was one thing when that one thing was removed. And by the way, whatever that one thing is, look at whatever that one thing is, it will be removed. All right. I'm trying not to make this negative, friends. I want this to be a positive. I want you to understand there are biblical sources of identity. Well, obviously, number six is evil, wrong, or sin. I'm going to talk about this in church in a different way today, and I use the word sin because in the Bible, sin means evil or wrong, but some people, sin is like religious stuff. So it simply asks this question, what went wrong? And friends, we have the fall, which answers this question. What went wrong? You know what's funny? Did you realize the questions you have are answered by Christianity? But they're not answered by reading John 3:16. They're answered by the Bible, all of the teaching. So you're going to learn about creation. You're going to learn a lot about the end. You're going to learn about what went wrong. You're going to learn about, well, we'll get to that at the cross. And you're going to learn about morality, meaning, and identity. It's just chock full of it. And can I say this to everybody? Can I say this kindly? Daniel chapter 1 is a good place for you to start. Because the first thing you're going to learn about Daniel, guys, he was a eunuch. So he could no longer be identified by his sex. And there are males that try to be fixated on sex, somehow thinking that's going to do it. By the way, he had all kinds of identity. His name, his faith, his obedience to God. By the way, but what went wrong is one of the questions that's central to Christianity. Evil, wrong, or sin? What went wrong? Or what is wrong? Whichever one you want to say. I say in your notes, everyone knows something is wrong. Everybody knows this. In every culture, you know something is wrong because children get diseased, people die, you get all of that. I just heard that one of the football players, he's now a talk show guy. Michael Strahan has twin daughters. One of them has a brain tumor. They're like 19. I don't know him, but that still hurts me. Why does that happen? He has twin daughters. One of them has a brain tumor, has been being treated. I say in your notes, we might not have a good explanation or good language to explain it, but we do know something is wrong. Every worldview deals with this in some way. Some people will say the body is the prison house of the soul. That was the ancient world. That was the Greeks. So if the body is the prison house of the soul, the goal is to get out of this body, to escape the body. Other people say evil or pain are an illusion. So the goal is to escape the illusion. Or if you're an evolutionist, evil is simply the It's simply the present state of evolution. We have these things because we haven't figured out ways of solving them. It's simply the present state of evolution. In a Christian worldview, evil, sin, and wrong are part and parcel of the fall, and they must be dealt with. And there are many ways of dealing with them. Lastly, redemption. Salvation, liberation. By the way, put all of them there. Look at everybody before we're done. We're almost done. Are you with me? Again, I don't care about what your viewpoint is right now. Because if you're an evolutionist, you still live in the same world. Yes or no?
Yeah.
Still live with death and disease. An evolutionist is going to find liberation in a different way, and their liberation is always going to be seen. By the way, do you ever notice that Democrats don't call themselves liberals anymore? They call themselves the worst thing in American history, and it started a long time ago, progress. And progress is a view that somehow we're going to fix us. We're going to fix everything. By the way, for all of you that don't get angry at me, started with Republicans, by the way. And we're going to fix things. We know how to fix things. Do we? I'm not as convinced. So redemption, salvation, liberation. Simply ask this question. How do we fix the wrong or the evil? And friends, Christianity says there was creation. Then there was a fall. Then there's the cross. So you already have evil is here. You have evil being fixed. You have evil being removed. Within this worldview, since God began it and concludes it, he tells us how to live. He tells us how to find meaning. He tells us how to find identity. Those are the seven questions. And I don't have time for questions. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. Bless our time together in Christ's name.
I couldn't get rid of those paddles.